Welcome to the Awakening Podcast Network. Get ready for an inspiring audio from this cutting-edge voice. You can find more podcasts at awakeningpodcasts.com.
You want to go deeper? Get equipped to overcome and walk in God's purpose for your life at Awakening House of Prayer's online campus. You'll experience an online family, preaching, teaching, and prophetic impartation for victorious living. We have over 1,000 members online, hungry for what God is saying and doing in the earth. Visit ahop.online today and join our family. AHOP TV empowers believers with spirit-inspired messages and strategic equipping that accelerates your spiritual growth. You can subscribe to stream weekly content from Awakening House of Prayer, conferences, and other exclusive content to stir your hunger and encourage your heart. Visit us online at ahop.tv.
The kingdom of Jesus is a kingdom of light, a kingdom of life, and a kingdom of glory. It is a beautiful kingdom. But also in the invisible realm, there is a dark kingdom that the devil, little d, is the little king over. And his heart is to bring as many people into his kingdom as possible. It's a kingdom of darkness and destruction and defilement, corruption. It's a horrible kingdom. And that kingdom and the kingdom of God clash against each other. I'm so glad that I'm in God's kingdom, and I hope you are too. But we're hearing from John Ramirez today, Amen. Who was delivered out of devil worship. You were in devil worship for, what is it, 27 years?
25 years.
25 years. And you were deep in there. Devil himself had groomed you.
Yes.
And you were sharing in our last program about how there was a counterfeit to all the gifts of the Spirit.
Yes.
A counterfeit tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophetic, healing, mm-hmm. deliverance.
Yes.
Right?
Everything.
Everything. Anything that Jesus did, you know, that we see in the scripture, he counterfeited because, of course, he was an angel in heaven before he fell. So he knew those secrets and turned dark with them. Mm-hmm. So in our last program, you shared how you came out. You were gloriously delivered.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ himself, as he took you into hell, mm-hmm. and you actually saw the cross,
the finished work of the cross,
the power of the cross in hell that conquered it all, and that deliverance entered you at that time, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and you fearlessly have been serving the Lord since that time. So now on this program, we want to hear more about what that deliverance looked like in your life. We know that you're an evangelist.
Yes.
You used to evangelize for the devil.
Yes.
But now you evangelize for Jesus Christ
1,000%.
With the true good news.
Yes.
And that you're involved with deliverance and healing. In fact, your books, Armed and Dangerous and Unmasking the Devil, share about how to overcome the enemy and how to be set free from his plans. We highly recommend you going to his website that is on your screen right now and finding out more about his ministry and about how you can obtain these tools. They're awesome. So share with me now, how did you come into ministering for the Lord rather than ministering for the devil? Because he taught you. He took you, you know, the devil took you into his classroom and taught you how to do all the different curses and things like that.
Yes.
So how now did you learn about the real kingdom of righteousness and his power?
You know, the amazing thing that I was a believer for 7 years before I even had the chance to share my testimony.
Wow.
Yeah. And when I did, they asked me to share my testimony. They invited me to this church. I said, come share the testimony for the first time outside of my local church. And they walked me to the basement. They said, well, we don't know you yet, so you need to do it from here. So, you know, I was the Lord saying the word, don't despise small beginnings, right? So I said, yeah, let's do it. I mean, like 15 people showed up. I shared my heart out like it was like 15,000 people because I just wanted to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. And just fast forward, you know, I think one of the incredible things about the books is to have spiritual warfare prayers, how to break, destroy, uproot demonic curses in your life, open doors, demonic oppression, depression, suicide. I've been in places that I've done. I mean, I remember a couple, like 2 or 3 years ago, I was down in Queens ministering. And I did an altar call. And one of the things I asked God, you know, one of the things I asked the Lord is, like, I see Nikki Cruz ministry. I said, Lord, well, you know, respect the person. So when you have blessed Nikki Cruz ministry, bless mine and give me something to do. You know, put me on display with Goliath. Do something, you know.
Right.
So the Lord been faithful because I ministered. I remember I was, you know, only God can heal. There was a lady came up to the altar. She said, I'm a Hindu. She said, I'm a Hindu. She said, I got four-stage cancer. Doctors said, I got less than a year to live. And I said, you know, I'm a very radical Christian. I've seen too much in Jesus Christ to doubt. So I said, what have your God done for you lately? She said, nothing. I'm dying. Four-stage cancer. I said, my Jesus can save you and he can heal you. She said, well, give me that. So she did the sinner's prayer right at the altar. I laid hands on her. I cast that devil of cancer. I said, infirmity spirit, you come out in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you. I up you. Man, a year later, they invite me back to the church. That lady was waiting for me at the door. She was waiting for me at the door. She said, you remember me? I said, honestly, I don't remember. I see so many faces. I ministered so many places. She said, I was the Hindu lady. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to die a year ago.
Wow.
I said, well, what happened? She said, Jesus set me free. I went back to the doctor. There's no cancer.
Beautiful.
Only God can heal.
Now, when you were in devil worship, did you specifically get sent to put cancer on people?
Oh, yeah. I'm infirmity spirit. You put suicide spirit. You put oppression spirit. You put homosexual spirits on people. You put adultery spirits on people so you could break marriages. Even witchcraft. I mean, I'm forgiven for all this stuff.
Amen. Right, of course.
I'm forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Right.
You do witchcraft because you do miscarriages on people or abortions on people because you killed the baby at the womb because you that's the church of Jesus Christ. So those demonic witchcraft, you do it on people. You transfer spirit from one, say you take spirits from one region to another, transfer principalities from one region to another. That's why you see patterns and cycles that happen. Like you see a shooting in this school, and then you see a shooting in that school, right? How that shooting happened, here, copycats. Those are spirits that transfer from one place to another so they can continue the flow of oppressing and bringing tragedies to people's lives.
Wow.
Or you bring, I remember the Ferguson situation. You remember these things, the hate crimes and all this, spirit of hate. You know how to transfer these spirits. So the devil, the kingdom of the devil is very active, but we, the church, we need to stop that in the tracks. We need to stop it by the prayers, by the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to come on against it. We need to confront the enemy so that he can set the captives free. God can set the captive. Holy Spirit can set the captives free.
I remember years ago, I was, you know, leading a lot of youth back in the day. And there was this one fellow that had been in a youth group in a church, and he had decided that he was going to become a Satanist.
Wow.
Someone from his school was involved in it, so he started fooling around with a few little things. Mm-hmm. Before he knew it, he got pulled into their seance and into their meetings, and he became a Satanist. And so I was addressing this with him. I said, what's happened to you? And he told me blatantly, he said, well, I've become a Satanist. And he said, you know, I've got so much power right now that I can look at a girl across the street mm-hmm. and put a spell on her, and mm-hmm. within an hour or so, I'd have her in bed with me.
Yeah, it's seducing
and,
spirit.
Yes, and mm-hmm. so he was learning, even mm-hmm. as,
yeah, learning.
You know, that
like I was,
place.
8 years old, being groomed, being taught.
Exactly, and he was being taught how to hurl these things just on absolute strangers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, praise the Lord, he got delivered out of that, and he's to this day serving the Lord, praise
amen,
the Lord.
Amen.
But,
praise God for that.
But I mean, it was like he was being targeted in his high school, and he was a Christian, and he had been compromised, so mm-hmm. there was a landing strip there, and the devil took advantage of it. But the question mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you is, when you were, okay, let's say miscarriage, for example, what did you just hear about a pregnant woman and then decide to curse her, or did you see a pregnant woman in the grocery store or something, or how did you know who to release curses
because
against?
Because the voice of the devil would tell you, this is the target, this is the person, this is the neighborhood, this is the region. You know, assignments of the dark side. So I was able, because of the demonic contracts that I had, I was able to operate on that realm by the demonic contracts and the covenants, the dark covenants that I had with those demonic demons of marine spirits, demons of the mountain, demons of territory, demons, principalities on the second and first heaven. I was able to move in that, and I was able to move and operate in the spirit realm because of the contracts that I had, the power of the demonic side, or even, you know, that's why they say sex outside of marriage is a sin.
Yeah.
The reason it's a sin is because, like myself, when I used to be intimate with women, I used to be half demon possessed, so I can transfer demonic spirits into
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
You see? So,
a lot of times the sexual act is actually a satanic ritual. And when we were doing a lot of deliverance ministry, mm-hmm. We would meet people who had had sexual connection with someone.
Yeah, soul ties. And soul ties.
And it was a deliberate, ritual being done. In fact, the witch knew that they were releasing spirits and then could control that person, destroy their marriages, everything from that place. Yeah. And I mean, sin is nothing to mess around with.
No.
The devil actually has no power. It's only sin that gives him power.
Yes.
But Jesus took away the power of sin. So when you walk in Christ and you're living righteously, and I mean, every day we can live with the power of the blood of Jesus cleansing us from all unrighteousness by living in the light as he is in the light. And when that happens, the devil can't invade you. Like, you know, we can decree the wall of fire around us, and and the devil and his followers should be more afraid. There should be no fear in the church. The devil and his followers should be afraid when we come walking down the road, right?
I mean, you know, one of the things I remember, I was in St. Croix, and I was having, they invited me to come speak in St. Croix. They had an event, and the witch from St. Croix came to my meeting, right? And this man come up, he comes up, he stands right in front of me. I mean, eye to eye, he's standing in front of me, and I'm doing at the altar call, and I'm, you know, I'm in the spirit. I'm having the Holy Spirit tell me, pray for this person, pray for that person, pray for this teenager. They got a spirit of cutting themselves, pray for this person. And we casting out devil, we casting out demons, because in the power of God, there's no devil that can stand. So he comes up to me, he tell me, I'm the witch of St. Croix. I come to destroy you and destroy your meeting face to face. But you see, I know spiritual warfare. I was born for this.
Yeah.
You know, I just took a little detour for 25 years, but I'm back in Jesus' name. I said, you sure you brought all your tools, all your demonic stuff with you? Because when I open up this can of whipping on you, I told them, I don't want to say that you're going to have a fair fight. So I'm here for 3 days. You can, you know, he said, I got everything. I said, really? I laid hands on this guy. He fell on the floor. He started to foam in the mouth. He was twisting like a pretzel. Because there's no power like the power of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And he came back the second day. He gave his life to Jesus Christ because there's no one like Jesus.
There's no one
like Jesus. Like
and
the song said.
No presence.
No love.
Jesus,
no love like Jesus. Amen. Yeah. I was a person that grew up without a father. My father got shot in the face for a woman that wasn't even his at the age of 33. I grew up in a broken home. There was silent pain in my home. My moms were getting beat up every weekend. You know, but the love of Jesus Christ. The love, even my father, when he was home, he was still absent. So the love of Jesus Christ, man, today, I'm able to be a good dad to my daughter. I'm able to have a relationship with my daughter because the love of Jesus Christ has taught me how to love.
So beautiful.
Give me a new heart.
Yeah.
Give me new life. I have God's best in my life, and I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world.
And instead of cursing people, you are blessing
people. I bless
people.
I stand in the gap for people. I pray for people. I teach people spiritual warfare. I teach people how to break generational curses through the books.
So beautiful.
I got a high school diploma. My daughter got a bachelor's degree because the curse is broken.
Unmasking the devil and armed and dangerous. Come on. You need to get these tools because they're so powerful. You see, you belong to a kingdom of blessing.
Amen.
And you are called to be blessed and to be a blessing. You are called to be light and to radiate light. I mean, why would we choose a crummy, dark, demonic kingdom over the kingdom of God? So let's live in that kingdom 100% with full passion, knowing that it is an eternal kingdom that will go on forever that we are part of. And we're going to give the king of that kingdom all of our allegiance and our love. We'll be right back. As we start this second part of the program, I just want to assure you that the power of Jesus Christ is matchless. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there is no power greater than him. Aren't you glad that you're a part of his kingdom? And if you aren't yet, ask him to come in right now and be your Savior and Lord, and he will not hesitate. He will forgive all your sin and bring you into his heart for all eternity. He is amazing. You can start a brand new life right now by calling Jesus Christ your Lord. He doesn't come in on top of a whole bunch of other gods that you might have in you. No, they all get eviction notice.
Yes.
You have to tell them to go so that he can come in and take his place. There's no mixture in the kingdom of God. There's only place for one throne, and that's his.
Amen.
Anyways,
Amen.
I want to open up a can of worms here, okay? talking about devil infiltration into the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, years ago when I was ministering over in Africa, I had discussion with many Christians who are now Christian ministers who got saved out of devil worshiper. But they said that one of the greatest targets in Satanism, when they were involved in Satanism, was they would be sent by their masters, by their demonic masters, into the Church of Jesus Christ, and specifically target leaders and weakness in the body to be able to destroy the entire church. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, you know, one of the things I used to do was I would go to the church, sit there, and act like I was a Christian, act like I was saved. So what I do, I release the spirit of Ahab towards the pastor. I'll release the spirit of Ahab and weaken his message, relieve the spirit of Ahab to the pastor. So the pastor got hit with the spirit of Ahab. And then what comes after Ahab is the spirit of Jezebel into the church to divide the church. Because the spirit of Jezebel, the only spirit that can tolerate Jezebel is Ahab. So I would do that. I would infiltrate the church and I will weaken the church so the gospel won't be preached. So people won't get saved. So people won't be baptized. So I will weaken the church and just make it a place of just like a social club. And that was my job to do that in some churches. But I think that today we need to have discernment. We need to discern that people that come into our church. We need discernment in the body of Christ. We need to discern what is of God and what is not.
Yeah. And we aren't to take it lightly, like sometimes, because we know we have authority over the devil, but sometimes we're so naive. We think, oh yeah, well, we're the church and nothing can happen. But I know from personal experience over my, over 30 years of ministry,
wow,
that I've had three witches assigned into the ministry, and we've been able to discern them and deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't go into the whole story on that, but it's proven that they were definitely targeting us. Absolute proof of that. And I gave different ministers warnings. I said, you need to have your intercessors pray and really don't let this particular person, because they're impersonating being a Christian. They're not really a Christian.
They're actually a witch.
Being sent in. Mm-hmm. And I said, be very careful because I have clear discernment on this. I wasn't just making it up. I had very clear confirmation. We have to be careful not to be overly suspicious or, you know, to label people when it's not accurate. But I, in the fear of the Lord, I had absolute discernment. And every single leader that I went to give them warning, they fell after because they did not heed the warning.
They didn't take heed.
They did not take heed. And every single one of them collapsed, their ministry collapsed, or they got taken out because of immorality, their churches dissipated, every single one of them. So we have to understand that even though we are not to be afraid of the devil, we can't play his game. And he can only curse if there is a cause. There has to be some kind of a landing strip. So like, if you're leading a church and you're in immorality, if a witch gets sent in, you're going to be in big trouble. Or if you're looking at porn on the side, you're going to be in big trouble. I mean, the devil sees it, and he knows he's got legal right. And so we need to be watchful. Again, we cannot watch over our heart with too much diligence. You know, we need to know, no, I'm walking in the light as he is in the light. Therefore, the devil has no power. But once we start living double lifestyles and compromise a little bit here and a little bit there and love the world and love this and love that. And it was interesting because you mentioned in our last program about being in the bars and Christians drinking the alcohol and how the devil worshipers knew that they could target those people. Can you share a little bit more about that?
I think, you know, one of the amazing things, when I was a young Christian, I met this Christian young man. He was older than I was in the faith. And he said to me, well, I go to clubs to evangelize. And I'm like, how's that work for you? And he was like, well, I don't drink liquor. I said, well, what you do with the eye gate and ear gate? How you protect that? How you protect your eye gate and your ear gate? You got girls walking around half naked. So obviously you're looking at them. And what about the music? That's all this profanity coming out of music is going into your spirit, to the ear gate. So how do you protect yourself from that? If you're drinking Polar Spring water, I get that part. But what happened to the other parts? You leave yourself open. So I think a lot today we need to discern. We need to know where God has it. Where's our place in the Lord? My place in the Lord is spiritual warfare. My place in the Lord is deliverance. My place in the Lord is whatever way God wants to use me. But it's an amazing thing that I grew up in the Bronx. And I used to be in every club in the city. I mean, I didn't miss a beat. I even danced to the commercials. I didn't miss a beat, right? So now that I live in the city, I never visited a club in 17 years. I have no taste for it. I know that I am in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I have a mission. I have a mandate. I have a purpose and I have a destiny. And I have good days. I have amazing days with the Lord. And sometimes I have off days, but I know how to come back into the center of right. God's will, the cross, and keep going forward. Because I think God says something. Jesus Christ says something. One amazing thing. He said, the devil came for me, but he found nothing in me.
Yeah. The prince of this world came and he had nothing in me.
Nothing in me. And we need to be the church that way. Yeah. The devil came for my church, but he found nothing in my church. Yeah. Starting with the leadership. And we need to be purified in the leadership. We need to be holy in the leadership. And we need to be surrendered to the will of God in the leadership. Because not only are we going to be held accountable stricter, but we have sheep in the church that we need to be right with these people. We need to be right and be careful with the witches in your church because we're in the last days.
Now, let's talk about this whole aspect of taking light into the darkness. For example, going into a club. So in a club, you've got spirits of seduction. You've got the world, the spirit of the world, for sure.
For sure.
You've got people that are doing drugs and alcohol and getting drunk and high and all that sort of thing. So it is definitely a den of iniquity on many mm-hmm. levels. But if you go in, let's say that you are not pulled in any of those ways, but you go in as light with intentionality. I'll give an example, actually, with the porn conventions mm-hmm. that are, we've actually taken teams in there, teams of women, mm-hmm. set up a booth and brought the light into the darkness. Mm-hmm. Now, beforehand, we had very strict weeding out of who could go in and who couldn't,
right.
because there could be nothing inside the soul that was attracted to any of that.
Right.
And we had a strong prayer covering that was around us. So we knew the exact reason why we were going in. We weren't there to just hang out with darkness. We were there to bring light into the darkness, not out of fear, but in perfect love. What do you think about that?
I think you said something awesome. You went there with a spiritual warfare plan in Christ.
Right.
You went there with a mission to conquer. You know, with the darkness to bring Jesus Christ to the people that are in darkness. They saw great light, the Bible says. Well, you went there with a mission. I think that's awesome. If you are called by God, if you hear the words. I live in Manhattan. There was a convention of New Age on 34th Street, 8th Avenue. There's a hotel called it the New Yorker. All five stories were full of New Age. The Lord said, I want you to go there. He told me. Now, I witchcraft is New Age. So I went there with two Messianic believers. We went there. We set up a table, and they asked me to call a conference room. But they didn't know I was Christian. I went there undercover. I said, I have powers about a rock that has powers. So I went to the meeting. So they pull up this conference room. All these people came, and they say, we want to know about the rock that has powers. We want the same rock that has power. The rock is Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So I brought the gospel in that way through my testimony. And a lot of people raised their hand. I prayed for them afterwards. It was an amazing opportunity. I share something deeper. There's a witchcraft place in the Bronx, a store. It's the biggest store in the Bronx. It's called Botanica. Botanica is where all the witches go and get the spells, get the candles, get the ingredient, get all the demonic stuff.
All the paraphernalia,
they go there and get it, right? I used to go there and get all my stuff. Many years I used to go there, spend a lot of money. You know what they make a year? That witchcraft store, they make $3 million a year.
Wow.
A witchcraft in one store make $3 million a year.
Wow.
To buy witchcraft. People go from all over the bar to go to this one place. This is the biggest place you could buy all your witchcraft stuff. Evil, whatever they call it. White witch, black witch. Witchcraft is witchcraft, no matter what color you paint it. So I went there with this crew. They did a documentary. I went there with the camera and everything. I went into the store, and now as a believer, I went and exposed everything in the store. And he exposed everything in the store. And even the guy said, what are you doing in my store? I said, well, I'm here to bring the light. So he's okay, bring it. He said, okay, bring the light. But he thought it was like the flashlight. It was the light of Jesus Christ I'm bringing.
Right.
Exposed everything in the store. It's in a documentary. You see, I went there with spiritual warfare. I went there with the Holy Spirit. I went there in an assignment. I just didn't go there and hang out.
Exactly. And that's what Jesus did. When Jesus left heavenly glory.
Amen.
He came into a very dark, sinful mm-hmm. world. The thing is, he had nothing in common
right.
with this world.
Exactly.
He was in the world as a heavenly being. And God wants you to know as believers that you are not an earthly being trying to get into heaven. You, when you are in Christ, you're a heavenly being living in the earth. And we are to live separate from the world.
Mm-hmm.
We're not to have the affections for the things that will will bring us down and bring us into darkness, because that's where the enemy gets his landing strips. And in your book, Unmasking the Devil and Armed and Dangerous, there is teaching in here on how you can rise up against the enemy, against his assignments, and how to keep your own soul free and delivered from the things that would try to entrap you. Because these things are real. We just have a couple minutes left. I want you to share about the younger generation, because the younger generation, there's so much confusion in them now, especially because many children have not been raised in church anymore.
Right.
And so how can we reach the younger generation? Because many of them are dabbling in witchcraft and Satanism. In fact, a little girl just recently told us about in her school during the break time, the little girls, these are like 9-year-old girls, sitting around in a circle. And they were saying, we are Satanists and we're calling on demons, right in the public school. And it was allowed. So we just have a minute left. Can you share with us, how can we reach out to children today?
Well, I think reaching out to children, I think it belongs to us believers as Christians. If there's Christians in the school, we need to be armed and dangerous. We need to confront that situation and say, that's not of God. We need to break that. We need to uproot those things. We need to pray against those things. When I was in the demonic side, I would infiltrate neighborhoods to do just exactly that. We need to infiltrate the neighborhood with the power of Jesus Christ, take over the neighborhood, take over the region, take over the school. Intercessors, what are we doing? We need to pray. We need to pray for our schools, not only our family. Yes, we stand for our family. Stand in the gap for your neighbor. Stand in the gap for your school, your community, your college. God has put you there for a reason. God had to get divinely give you the appointment for that apartment, the house you live in. Pray over the region. Lock down the region for Jesus Christ. Plead the blood over the second, first heaven. Find out what's going on in your school. Find out what's going on in your community, and come against it with the power of God.
Come on. One real quick question. When you were involved in devil worship and you were out doing things, could you see where there was prayers, and as a result of the prayers of God's people, you couldn't penetrate?
Well, yeah, I should project leave my body, go into neighborhoods, right? And you know, I used to go into neighborhoods, and there was particular neighborhoods that had
that couldn't penetrate.
They were like in a circle, you know, unity, the power of God, you know, and they knew how to pray and chase me out of neighborhoods. So my assignment was void. I couldn't take over the neighborhood because they knew how to pray.
There you go. So I want to encourage you, just gather together with other believers and pray. I'm going to be back in a few moments to wrap this up, but this is an exciting hour that we've come to, where we literally get to expel darkness with the light of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Never should we be afraid of the devil or his power. He's already defeated. That's all been taken care of.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus Christ. And one of the things that will keep you strong in your faith is knowing and believing the love of God, because perfect love casts out all fear. So as we close right now, I want to remind you of this, that God loves you with an everlasting love. Now go take that powerful love that no weapon formed against it can prosper. Take that love to those in darkness. We'll see you next time.
This has been a production of the Awakening Podcast Network. Jennifer LeClaire is the founder and owner of APN. Our heart is to inspire people and exalt Jesus with every broadcast. We're grateful for our advertisers and supporters that make these podcasts possible.